Boot scared ya.
Trick or treat!
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
No clowns, please.
Leave it to guys to let something get so bad that they have to be rushed to an emergency room situation.
What did your boyfriend do now?
Well, no, like, I feel like you make fun of me all the time because I'm a hypochondriac, but by being a hypochondriac, I save myself a lot of emergency situations. You know what I mean? Like, I put myself in situations where if something's not going right, I'll run to a doctor who will tell me yes or no rather than waiting until it's a thing and then having to go to the emergency room, pretty much like my boyfriend does. And let me just tell you, he has a history of this. Before he met me, he had his gallbladder out. Mm-hmm. And the reason he had his gallbladder out is because he was having gallbladder issues for years. And there was no woman in his life to say, get the fuck to a doctor. Go figure this out. He waited until his gallbladder was like about to burst and he was crawling around. Mm-hmm. And then,
well, what does that feel like? How do you know that the gallbladder is going?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a sharp pain in your stomach that you can't ignore. Basically, you know something's up. You know something's up.
I would just think it was poo.
Well, no, it's after you eat like a heavy meal that's high fat. I think it's maybe higher. Maybe it's not in the poo place. Maybe it's a little higher in the body. I don't know. You'll have to ask him. But he's one of these guys that, like, I can't get him to a doctor. He will tough anything out. And I mean anything. He didn't tell me that he's been in some pain for the past few days because he figured, pain, I'll take some Advil, I'll be fine. Like, he toughs it out. He woke up this morning. His entire jaw was swollen and he was in excruciating pain. I think he was running a fever. I'm only saying that because I saw a thermometer out, which I never see. So he had a thermometer in the bathroom. So clearly he thought, like, something's up here.
Mm-hmm.
And we happen to live right behind our building is a dental emergency room. So he knew it was something in his mouth or jaw, something in the mouth area. And there is a mouth emergency room right on our block. So he went to the mouth emergency room and he met a very nice dentist and very nice people. They were so great. And they looked in his mouth and they said, this is bad. Like, this is you need to have this tooth taken out. This is an abscess. This is swollen. Like, this is, you're going to lose, I don't know how many teeth. Like, this is bad, 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 bad. You need to go to an oral surgeon immediately. So they send him up to oral surgery and he gets there and the woman behind the desk is like, okay, we can see you in February.
He's like, the first available.
Yeah, he's like, no, I'm going to be dead by then. Like, by then, my entire jaw will be falling off and I'll have, 112 fever. No, my dentist said to tell you, this is literally an emergency. I have to be seen today. You know, at the very least, tomorrow morning. You know, at last, that's fine. Tomorrow morning, he said, is fine, but it has to be in the next 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not with your insurance.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, this is not okay. So I call our insurance and I say, what the fuck? You know, I can see if he was going to get a manicure and you guys are like, we don't do manicure. Sorry, not with your insurance. This is an emergency. He's about to lose his head. His head is about to fall off his shoulders. He's in an emergency room. The emergency room doctor told him he needs a surgeon immediately. And the surgeon's office said, not with your insurance. And the patient advocate was just horrified. She's like, okay, we're going to file a complaint, but first let's get him into an oral surgeon immediately. So she had three that were on her list. She's like, let's call them now. So she and I together, she put in the call and the two of us talked to them together. And we found the oral surgeon who can see him immediately.
Like today.
So, yeah, like today, like, you know, an hour ago. I mean, from when we were talking.
Mm.
So it happens to be not too far from our house. It was perfect. First, she gives me like someplace in Smithtown. I'm like, he's not going out to Long Island with his head falling off his body. That's not happening. Sorry. Because, you know, she's in the South. Like, you can hear her accent. She's like, how y'all doing? I don't know. I see this little address in New York. It says Smithtown. Is that near you? I was like, it's not near anybody. Wherever you are is closer. Like, give me someplace in the city. So she found us an oral surgeon and a whole dentistry hospital not too far from our apartment. So he gets on his bike.
Oh, no.
Well, listen, he couldn't. It's across town. A cab would have taken forever. There's no way to get across town in my city. There's no way.
But his head is falling off. You're telling us his head is falling off. So he's riding a bike. Like Bob Cratchit with his head falling off.
Pretty much, like holding his head under his arm.
Right. Like a pumpkin.
Like a pumpkin and biking across town to where this dentist is.
Move! Like that when he's...
He can hold the head over and like look into cars as he's biking by. What are you doing in there? Yeah. So he gets there and they take one look at him and they're like, all hands on deck. You know, everybody is just scrambling. So he basically not just had to get teeth removed, but they had to do like a whole bone graft and this whole surgery. They put him on everything you can just to get away with the pain. They put him on everything you can think of. And he texts me that like something they gave him got his epinephrine going and he was like, tingling with adrenaline. He was like, I feel like I can run a marathon right now. What the fuck? What the fuck? He was like freaking out.
Well, an hour ago, your head was falling off. So it's probably better than that.
Yeah. So good that you feel good right now. But they gave him so much stuff because he was literally a head case that they were like, you definitely can't bike home. You need someone to come get you because you're going to be very high. So he had all this oral surgery this morning. I mean, there's like a ton of oral surgery. He's still really swollen, but at least the infected teeth and the infected bone and everything that was causing his head to fall off is all gone. But I just want to go on record and say that 3 years ago, when COVID first started, he had a mouth thing. And I said to him, you need to be seen now. Mm-hmm. They need to put a crown on that tooth. Otherwise... My friend, I have lost every tooth in my mouth. I have two implants. My front teeth are fake. Every single tooth in my mouth is either a crown or cavities. I don't have any of my original teeth, pretty much. So take it from me. Take it from someone who knows dental work. You need to get a crown put on this tooth. Otherwise, you're going down a really bad road. So it was COVID. So he found a dentist that was open, and it was a 3-month wait. I'm not waiting 3 months. And that was the end of it. That was it. So here we are three years
so you
later.
Just forgot about it.
So no, but I've gotten to the point in my life. Here's the downside for him. I will not remind him. I will not ride him about it. He is an adult. He can make decisions for himself. His problem is that he is dating somebody whose last relationship broke up. Because I was so busy fucking mothering my boyfriend and telling him what to do. My husband, it became my husband, but so busy telling him what to do, what not to do. Don't forget this. Don't forget that. Do you have money on you? You know, all that stuff. It's not sexy and it fucked up our relationship.
I know, but men need that in their life.
Nope.
That in my life. I can't go on without that.
You're an adult.
I would just be walking in a circle if I didn't have that in my life.
So walk in a fucking circle. I don't care. I refuse to tell him how to live his life and what to do. He'll walk out the door and I'll see that his wallet is sitting right there. I'll be like, oh, fucker forgot his wallet.
And you don't tell him. That's not cool. You should say, hey, douchebag wallet, pick it up, take it.
I'm not his mother. He's an adult. He can handle that stuff himself. If he forgets his wallet and he goes somewhere and needs money, I told him that he should get Apple Pay. I told him, just, you know, have it. You always have your phone on you. Make sure you have Apple Pay. Nah, I don't want to do that. Okay. Fucking keep forgetting your wallet then. Not my problem. We had the conversation. He chose to do it his own way. So I will not mother the man I'm with. I will not remind them. I won't tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. This is all on him. And our insurance covered most of it, but a lot of it is not covered. He's going to have to fucking pay for it. You know what I mean? So this is all his own consequences at this point.
It would have been cheaper 3 years ago just to get one thing done instead of everything today.
Right. Yeah, that one thing, even if he went to the most expensive dentist he can find in New York, it would have been only about $700. Trust me, what he's having done now, not even close to that. I wish it was $700.
So did you go up there and pick him up?
I had to.
So did you ride the bike back and he sat on the handlebars like E.T.?
No. What we usually do is I like walking his bicycle. Mm-hmm. It's big and high, and I like to hold on to it because I'm lazy. So it kind of feels like, I don't know, you know those old people who use those walker things? That's what it feels like to me because he's got like a big bike. I hang my bag on the handlebars, and he holds my arm, and because he was really fucking high.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked the bike home. It wasn't that, it was just across town. It wasn't far. It wasn't like I was coming from the Bronx. So, yeah.
No, I think the idea of you pedaling a bike, him on the handlebars like E.T.
know, right?
with his head falling off. That's just funny.
If it was my bike, I would have done that because I cannot sit on his seat and reach the pedals.
Mm-hmm.
That's how tall he is and that's how short I am. There's no way to do it.
So he couldn't be like E.T.
And you know what's so fucked up is when they say you have to have somebody to take you home, they won't let you leave. You have to literally sign the person out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be like an adult. They make sure they look at your license, make sure you're not four. You know what I mean? I walk in, obviously I'm an adult, but you got to sign them out. So now what they're saying is he's fucked up. Anything he does when he walks out this door, he's your problem. Like he's your problem. You sign this paper right here and it's all good. It's a contract.
So we had an interview today with a big star.
Mm-hmm.
So this big star, he's been in, I counted them, 51 movies and all not shit movies, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. really good movies. We won't say who he is, but really big star. He was on TV too, really big TV shows.
Okay.
So we had this interview set up today, this afternoon.
Yes.
To talk to this guy, you and me. And so you call me up and say, you can't do it because Joe's sick.
Right.
And I'm going to have to do it. And I'm like, I don't want to do it without you because you say all you set him up. I'm the one with the funny jokes.
Right, right.
I don't set him up. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. But I'm like, whatever, I'll do it. You know, and then they send you a list of questions to ask. I don't want to ask those questions. Those are stupid.
Yeah, that was weird. The fact that the publicist was insisting on us asking, actually, they say suggested questions, but I learned the hard way because I set him up with another friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend wrote some great questions and they wrote back to my friend. And I only know this because I'm the one who set up the interview. I wrote back to my friend and they said, we're not going to answer these questions. Here are our questions. It's like, well, then why do interviews? Just audio and send whatever you want them to say. Just send us the audio. And we'll either play it or not.
Right. Just set it up for those questions and give him to give answers.
Right.
So I was going to ask maybe one of those questions. And then the other ones were going to be stupid Anthony questions.
Right.
That I was going to ask him. So it was supposed to be at 12:30. I get here at 12:15. Get on the Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
No big star. 1 o'clock. Still no big star. Not an email. Not a call. Not anything from the publicist. We just don't have an interview.
And the guy had your email because he sent you the stupid questions.
Right.
Okay, so, well, that explains it. Okay, because hang on a second, because here's what he sent me.
Oh, good.
Okay, so the publicist for Big Star sent me something today that literally says, they don't see anyone on the Zoom. What's happening now? And then the publicist called me.
At what time was that?
12:43.
I was sitting on the Zoom the whole time. On the link that I sent you.
So I'll tell him. So we were on the Zoom.
Yeah, nobody was there. I sat there the whole time going,
until when?
Till 1 o'clock. I sat here for 45 minutes.
I'll say 1:15.
No, your time is more valuable than mine. Fuck you. Okay. I don't even want to interview you now. It's not that hard. I send you a link, you click on, and you get on. So no stupid Anthony questions to Big Star. I don't even want to talk to him now because he's not even that big a star in my world.
Yeah, I will say, you know, the only reason why I'm not going to pursue this because the publicist was asking me who else I knew. How could I help him? It's like, aren't you the publicist? Aren't they paying you? So that's thing one. Thing two is I will not be told what questions to ask somebody. I don't know who the fuck you are, publicist, but we have won major awards for our interviews.
Right.
You might want to, you know, like we can ask anything we want to Miley Cyrus and Lady Gaga and Ed Sheeran, but this fucking asshole has to give us the questions to ask Big Star.
And there's like 15 questions.
Yeah, see, I don't know if it was Big Star that dictated that or if it's the publicist that dictated that. It's hard to know because I don't know if this is the publicist for the project, because I think that Big Star's publicist would not have done something like this. I think this is the publicist for the project, and they were told by their people, make sure they stay only talking about the project, nothing else. You know, I've been down this road before with celebrities when they're promoting something. I remember when I was doing a podcast years ago with a girlfriend of mine, and we had interviewed Alyssa Milano. But the reason why we were interviewing Alyssa Milano is because she had a deal with, like, I don't know, Charmin or Cottonelle or one of those. So she was on to talk about toilet paper and poop, which was fucking hilarious, by the way. But we also asked her questions about her life and whatever, but they limited. They said she's really there to talk about toilet paper and poop. So make sure you talk about toilet paper and poop. But she is Alyssa Milano, so you can ask her a couple of questions about, you know, who's the boss and Charmed and
Tony Danza.
Tony Danza, whatever else is going on in her life. So they let us, but they let us ask her some questions as long as we stuck to their narrative somewhat. Do you know what I mean? Like, we weren't there only to talk. So that's fine. This publicist will not let you talk to big celebrity about anything other than this project.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to do that because I will promote what he's doing. He's doing some show. That's fine. But that's not what I'm going to talk to him about. That's not interesting to me. I'm not going to make any press by asking him your stupid questions.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, this big celebrity owns a place in Manhattan that I've been to.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Them.
What kind of place?
It's a restaurant.
It's a restaurant. Oh, he owns a restaurant. I didn't know that. He owns a restaurant.
Yeah, it's actually his name.
Oh.
It's Goofy Goover's Restaurant.
I didn't know that.
I actually went there before and dropped a couple large bills.
Huh.
Eating there. So I was going to talk to him about that he still owes me money because.
Is it Ronald McDonald?
It's exactly Ronald McDonald. It's the guy from the Jack in the Box. It's the big head guy.
Okay.
So I was going to talk to big, that his food was but it wasn't, you know, worth the 10 bills that I spent on it.
Right, right. Jack in the Box is not what it used to be.
No, and Big Head Guy would have been funny, so.
Right.
But now I don't even want to talk to Big Head Guy because he stood me up and I hate being stood up. Hate that. I got things to do. Your time is not more important than mine.
I don't think they stood us up. I think they got on the wrong Zoom link. I think that their publicist is just really overwhelmed because the publicist has a lot of interest here. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that the publicist sent the wrong link or something, or maybe the publicist sent a link and they didn't know how to click on it, or they clicked on it and they didn't know to put in the code. I don't know. You know, the problem with some of the people that you and I interview, they're not really very Zoom friendly. They don't do a lot of Zooming. You know, some celebrities don't know anything about social media. They stay away from anything technology. You know, either it's because they're just not into it because they don't have to because they're celebrities, or they're it's not their generation. One or the other.
Well, so, big head Jack in a Box guy has his own podcast.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh.
So he's done this every day. Okay. He does this.
Oh, okay. So every day or every week.
I don't fucking know.
Okay.
Wait. I don't care anymore. I'm not even going to watch his movie. I was halfway through his movie. I'm done with it now.
Yeah, you're going to stop now.
Yeah, I'm never going to Jack in a Box again.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Something went wrong. But that, you know, that there's technology for you. You and I have been through this before. We've tried to interview somebody and we tell them the time and they don't realize that we're in, that at the time was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in LA when they hear 3 o'clock. They think,
oh, yeah, we had that with the guy from
L.A. time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do we have that with?
The dude from the Four Seasons guy.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, we had it with that guy. Right. We had a couple of times. But yeah. Then we work it out. You know, a lot of times if somebody's a big enough name, we reschedule with them and whatever. The only reason why I'm not in a hurry to reschedule this is because they only want to talk about this one project they're doing. And they're not going to let us ask any questions about, you know, all the other things that Jack in the Box has been in.
No, the great thing
about all the other boxes that Jack in the Box has been in.
The great thing about the last interview we did that they stood us up. Remember, we went on the air and started trashing him and he was listening.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then he called us.
No, he's like, he's texting me going, let me in, please. Let me talk to you guys. I'm like, no, screw you. You're late.
I forgot about that. We were trashing him. And he was like, no, I'm here and I'm listening.
And he turned out to be a great guest.
Great guy,
And now we still talk to him. So it's funny. But this guy, you know, I was kind of interested in his life because he's been in some really good movies.
Yeah.
And he's really a typecast. I mean, he only plays one role.
But he's so good in it.
He's
like the
good
one
at
role
it.
He plays, he plays it like no, but he's very, very unique.
Right. But I didn't want to ask their questions. And you didn't even know, and I couldn't even tell, if there was going to be two guys on the call.
It seemed like there were going to be two guys. Because, he's working on this project and there's two of them. And I got the impression the second guy was going to be there and you and I were just going to ignore him.
But so, long story, you backed out. So now I got to go research Douchebag because I don't research anybody that we interview.
Oh, right.
I go in there blind. That's when I'm best.
The best, right.
When I don't know anything about them. So now I got to learn this guy's name. I got to figure out what movies he's been in. The biggest movie he's done, I've not seen.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I could see that because you know why? That genre of movies, that's not the best one for some people. That's not people's favorite one. And in fact, there's another huge star in that movie who says that was the worst movie he's ever been in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I felt bad that he's even doing something about this movie, and I've never seen it.
Right.
So I was going to just bring that up and move on. And there's a really bad 80s movie that he was in that I love. And I'm probably the only person who's ever seen it. And he was thug number 3 in that movie. That's all I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the Better Off Dead movie than the big movie that he was in.
Right, right.
But no.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame because it would have been nice to talk to him. And I feel bad for him because he has this publicist who's controlling everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're on a project, they force you to only talk about that project. But they can't be that stupid. They have to. I mean, when I say they, I mean like the people doing the project, not the celebrities, because obviously they know. But the people doing the project, you know, are so nervous that we're not going to talk about their project that they don't let us go off on a tangent and talk about anything else. They're afraid to have really big stars on stuff. Mm-hmm. But I've interviewed lots of big stars who are on projects with other people, and we get to the project. We get to it all the time.
Yeah, we'll
don't worry
about that. But let
we'll get there.
Let me find something interesting. You know what? I will find something interesting about this guy that you had no idea. But and I'll talk about what he's doing. But let's get to this first.
Right. You know, it's amazing how many publicists do not understand the power of people like, not you and I only. There's a lot of people out there that are doing radio shows and podcasts that are great at getting press for themselves. You and I are two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in order to do that, you have to let us just do our thing and be us and talk and just have a conversation with the person. You cannot control our narrative. If you're going to control our narrative, then we're not going to waste our time. It's not an interview for us.
Right.
Just send us recorded answers, and we will decide to play them or not play them or whatever. We'll find a way to make them funny.
Right, because this movie that he was in was probably the top 10 movies of all time or whatever that people love. I've never seen it. It's not my generation. So I wanted to bring up with him, talk me into why I should see this movie.
Right. Yeah, maybe that's it. It's just not our generation.
Why should I see it? Talk me into it. You know, why should I see this movie and the thing you're doing now because of this movie?
Right.
But no, I didn't get a chance. I just stood, I sat here and stared at myself on camera for 45
I think the publicist cock-blocked you. You got cock-blocked.
But I don't want our name to be bad out there because we weren't here. I was here 15 minutes early waiting for him.
Yeah, I emailed and I said we were there. Maybe they clicked on the wrong link. I don't know. We were there waiting. I don't know what happened to you guys.
Yeah, so I don't want Jack in a Box Guy anyway. So tell Big Head Jack in a Box Guy, go fly a kite.
Right. Thanks, but no thanks.
She really wants to get to know you guys.
What is this?
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
All right, so Anthony, you know how the Kardashians are like everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, our next guest is like the Kardashian of Fox News. He's literally on that channel everywhere. Like, you cannot turn on a show without seeing Joe Concha as a contributor. His face is on that channel more than anyone else. He's also a media reporter for The Hill, and his new book is a bestseller already, of course. It's Joe Concha. And the book is called Come On, Man, The Truth About Joe Biden's Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Presidency. Please welcome one of my favorite people on the planet to the show, Mr. Joe Concha.
So you're saying that I am the owner of a very large derriere.
Well,
like Kim Kardashian, right? I used to see Kimmy in Hoboken, and I was just amazed by that thing. I mean, that's real and it's spectacular. and I'm ubiquitous. So I'm overexposed like a Taylor Swift or somebody. This is a good thing, though, right? It's a good thing. Coop?
I mean, the two of them are pretty famous and pretty rich. Yeah. And you want to be compared to, look, I could have compared you to Chad Brown.
Good point.
You know, excellent. Who's that? Who's
or
that?
Chris Brown.
No, Chad Brown is an actor I know who never went anywhere.
Excellent point. How are you, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on?
This is just a little awkward for me because, so Anthony and I have been doing a show together for on and off since 2006.
Oh, wow.
And we, you know, we were on a break.
Mm-hmm.
And during that break, I was doing a show with Joe Concha. So it feels like I was the guy I cheated on and the guy I cheated with are now together. So it's a little awkward.
And Coop, remember, we have never established if something happened at the University of Maryland that neither of us remember because we were at adjoining dorms.
Oh, no.
And something, there had to be some sort of, through karma, sort of Coop Conch. A horrible thing that happened, even though I'm not remotely in your league. So actually, let's scratch that.
Mm. Well, that's not true at all. In fact, the problem is everybody was in my league when I was in college. So Anthony, Conch and I went to school together, and not only did we both go to University of Maryland, but we figured out we were there at the same time.
Mm.
But I don't know about him, but I was so drunk that I remember very little about my nights there. So, and then we figured that our dorms were adjacent. So it was like one of those moments. I do this on the street. I walk down the street and I go, did I fuck him? I'll just walk by a guy and be like, that guy's really familiar. Like, did I have sex with that guy?
Wait, so, we can fuck on this? We can totally say fuck?
Yeah, it's a podcast.
Oh, I know, but it's so liberating.
Yeah.
Fuck. This is fun.
Yeah, I was going to say I feel better because he's second. He got you second, but now you're telling me he could have got first. You first, and I could have been the second.
No, you broke me in.
Well done. This is going well.
Well, no, but the thing is, you both know a lot of very intimate things about me. That's the thing, because that's part of what we do. That's why our shows have all been so good, is because we share a lot of our lives with each other and with the audience. Mm-hmm. So you both know a lot of, like TMI on a regular basis, TMI, you know? So, but I think it's a good thing.
It's an excellent thing. I mean, you don't win all these Gracies you won, Cooper, without being candid about your own personal life.
Well, there's only two people that know Cooper that have done radio with her that still talk to her, and they are on this show right now.
That's a good point.
Really?
Everybody else can't stand her and don't even want to be in the same state as her. So
it's true.
Shut the front door. I don't buy it.
Yeah. Right, no, it's...
Let's talk about stuff.
Okay, so here's what I wanted to talk about. This is such an odd thing. So before we get to your books, I do have questions about that. You know, so this, I thought this was kind of interesting breaking news in our world today, in our celebrity world. So Taylor Swift has a new album out. Maybe you've heard about it.
Yes.
So she just released a video for her new song, Anti-Hero, and there's already backlash. And I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about this type of backlash, because this is the kind of thing that kind of, I think, is ruining a lot of our country, a lot of the music, a lot of, you know, for me, from like, the left side, like people are just too far. So here's what happened. In the video, she gets on a scale, and the scale, instead of saying a number, it just says fat. You know, because every woman goes through that where they have a day, they're like, I feel fat today. You know, even a woman that's, you know, 100 pounds soaking wet, I feel fat today. So that's it. That was the only thing that happened in the video. And I am telling you, social media blew up with people calling her fat phobic and saying, here's some of the comments. It's enforcing the idea that fat is gross or bad. Taylor had an eating disorder. That's what she's addressing in that video. But somebody said having an eating disorder does not excuse fat phobia. And just because someone has an eating disorder does not mean they should promote the idea that fat is gross. So what was her response to this, saying, listen, I'm Taylor Swift. I'm not fat phobic. She removed it from the video. She caved.
Did she really?
That's the problem, right? That when you cave in these situations, you are basically admitting that you were wrong, even if you don't feel you're wrong. And if you think that then people will stop here, the mob will stop here and say, all right, Taylor, you did a good thing. Thank you. No, they're going to keep coming because now they smell weakness. I don't think that most of the outrage that we see today is based in any real reality of people that are just living their normal lives. It's all about Cooper, Anthony, all about social media creating this illusion of backlash, of people being very angry. But I don't think that Twitter's real, and I don't think that TikTok's real in terms of what the public sentiment is. You know what I mean? I think it's an illusion. So whenever there's a boycott against a company because they did or said XYZ, and you hear about it, you know, trending on social media, I don't think in the end, I think if you're a corporation or if you're Taylor Swift, you just ignore it. You say, nope, I'm not fat phobic, and we're moving on. It will go away quickly. The minute you acquiesce and you apologize, that's when it only gets bigger.
She's in a position of power right now. She has the number one album, like, of all time in one day on Spotify. I mean, she's really in a position of power where she could have been the one to stop this train. And just say, you know what, let's stop micromanaging each other. This is about my life, my narrative, my eating disorder. This is how I felt on a day. And by the way, I'm Taylor Swift. You think I'm fat phobic? Really? Seriously, that's who you think I am as a human being? So this would have been a good opportunity for her to basically tell them all to fuck off and not change the video at all. But I mean, I don't, yeah, these celebrities feel like they need to cave. And I just think it sends the wrong message.
You know who the roadmap is? It's another podcaster named Joe Rogan or Dave Chappelle, a comedian who does not ever apologize in these situations and basically tells people to go fuck themselves. Like, are you believe that? Fine. Then don't buy my, literally what I would say if I were in this position, I would say, you know what? Don't buy my album. Fine. You got me.
Right.
You think I'm Taylor Swift. I'm fat phobic. Please. I don't want your money. I think that that would earn them more points. They probably sell more albums as a result by standing by their principles and pushing back instead of acquiescing and saying, oh, you're right. Maybe I should take this off because maybe some people are offended. That's her PR people doing that, by the way, and they should all be fired.
Right. No, I agree. She should step in because that's the thing. You're right. It makes it look like she has no backbone. So where do you draw the line as to when it's okay? Like, for example, as you know, just this week also, Kanye's batshit rant and tripling down on anti-Semitism finally got him not just canceled, but, you know, he lost all these major multi-million and billion dollar contracts, Adidas, TJ Maxx, you know, Vogue stepped away from him, his agents at CAA. So is that okay? Is that like what is the line for you, Conch, in terms of like when a company should say we're done with you and when a company should be like, no?
But my line, Cooper, is Taylor Swift steps on a scale and it says fat. As you said, that's what every girl thinks, even if they're like my wife, like impossibly thin. If I gain some weight, you push back on that because it's so ridiculous. Once you get into anti-Semitism, which is exactly what Ye, is that what we're calling him now? Ye?
Yeah.
Did on multiple occasions, by the way. Not like, oh, he misspoke and maybe made a mistake. No. I mean, it clearly what he said was wrong. And if I'm a corporation, then I say I cannot be associated with this person because it's not worth the pain that our company is going to feel as a result of bad PR and everything that goes along with it. So, yeah, Taylor Swift, defend yourself. Kanye West, indefensible.
Do you think Kanye's done? Do you think it's over for him and that's that?
Yes, I think so. I think he's got mental issues, to be quite honest with you, mental health issues. And he really should get them addressed. I just don't see where he goes from here. You can't put Humpty Dumpty back together, is the old saying. And once you say things like he said, I don't know how you recover from that because now that defines him.
I think that corporate America is done with Kanye. I think the thinking human being and certainly Jews are done. And anyone who is sympathetic to any suffering is done. His diehard fans, until his diehard fans walk away from him, he can keep making shoes. He can keep making music.
I just wonder who makes the shoes then. In other words, okay, I'm always going to buy his shoes. All right. What manufacturer is now going to partner with Kanye West and deal with the backlash that goes along with that? I guess he could maybe do it under the radar, but
China.
And he can produce his own music. Mm-hmm. What's that?
China. Go make your own shoes in China.
Oh, it's a great point. Yeah, China.
And he'll open his own store. It'll be a Yeezy store that he will fund and run, and that's how he's going to do it.
Yeah, maybe. You know, people love a train wreck sometimes, and he has so many fans that even if he loses half, that's still more than most everybody. All right. Coop makes a good point and I concede.
Yeah. I think it's good for Adidas to come out and drop him because look how much press they've gotten off of this. So they only look good in this fight.
And by the way, have you worn Adidas sneakers? Because they are not comfortable. I'm sorry. I don't know if they're a sponsor. I go Asics. No one talks about Asics. They're beautiful. They're like slippers, except they're sneakers. And Adidas and Nike, I know they're the big ones, but I've tried wearing it. They're not comfortable. I'm telling you.
No, Adidas are definitely not comfortable, especially the three stripe flat ones that I used to wear when I was a kid and I just bought another pair like a couple years ago. No. Have you tried the Hoka sneakers?
The Hoka?
Hoka.
No, I'm not Jewish.
Hoka.
Oh, no. I'm not.
Oh, my God. These sneakers changed my life. These are such amazing sneakers that my dad's foot doctor went out and bought him a pair and dropped them off at his house because he was like, you have to wear these. Like, that's what my dad wears now. And I'm like, okay. But they're like kind of hip and they're cool. And it's what the cool kids are wearing.
Let's say we wore those the next time we use a Peloton that maybe your boyfriend gives you. Would that work for you, Coop?
Shut up.
And why did he give you a Peloton? Is he saying you're fat?
He's calling me fat. He's calling me fat. He's got to be canceled like Taylor Swift. Anthony, the Gracie that Conch and I won was you because won. we had an argument. Well, the show won one, but they only give it to a vagina. Right. The argument that we had was over the whole Peloton ad. Remember, there was a big controversy back then.
Because the husband gets you a Peloton, that means you're fat.
Right. The husband's calling the woman fat. So, Conch, all the years that I've known you,
yes,
I have said to you, I'm an idiot and I publish books. Like, why aren't you writing a book? You know, yeah, I should write a book one day. Yeah, I got an idea. And you would never actually, you were so busy.
Yeah.
What happened? Who convinced you? How did you get in a position that you decided to finally write a book, and why this book?
It was a godfather situation. HarperCollins made an offer I could not refuse, which I was surprised at. I'm like, guys, you know, I've never written a book, right? Oh yeah, well, you know, you can promote it well, and you know, you're a well-known columnist, and you know, you have any ideas? I'm like, well, yeah, I think so. And I figured that everybody wrote about the previous president and Trump, and rightly so, where there were dozens of books on Trump. So I'm like, okay, well, I looked around and I saw that there were no books on Biden written by anybody of any note anyway. I'm like, well, that's interesting because, you know, the current president provides a lot of material to write about, right? I mean, he literally was looking for dead people a couple of weeks ago at an event. You know, this congresswoman unfortunately had died in a car accident in August. Mm-hmm. And then he's at an event and he's asking her for her by name, like, where's Jackie? Is Jackie here? Somebody get Jackie. And it's like, dude, the woman died in a car accident and you literally wrote like an obituary for her, like, you know, commending her service.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, all right, you know, Joe Biden from throughout his whole life has said things that from at least a comedy standpoint, you could probably write about. So I figured, okay, he's a sitting president. There's only been 45 presidents overall. Grover Cleveland, I think, did it twice. So that's why it's 45 and not 46. And since everybody wrote about Trump, why shouldn't somebody write about Biden and everything going on in the country? And when you just look at everything in terms of his life, you wonder, how exactly did this guy get to the White House? I mean, he plagiarized a speech back in 1988. Now, this is just to age us completely. He ran for president in 1988, just to feel old. That's 35 years ago.
Jesus.
And he had to drop out. Yeah, he did. And he had to drop out because, you know, journalists were journalists back then. And they found that he word for word took one for a speech from a guy who was running for British prime minister. So he drops out. And you're like, all right, well, he can't possibly ever run again. Right. I mean, once that happens, that's kind of humiliating. And he runs again in 2008. And of course, he doesn't even get past Iowa, which is the first primary, the first caucus. Mm-hmm. But then Barack Obama, you know, magically, you know, wins the nomination, beats Hillary Clinton. No one expects this. So Obama, though, is a community organizer. He had been in the Senate for like 5 minutes and he needed somebody who was older and was in the Senate for a while and had some foreign policy experience. So he chose Biden. So now Biden, despite coming nowhere near the White House, despite dropping out as a presidential candidate in 1988 in the worst terms possible, suddenly is a vice presidential candidate on a ticket that can't lose. Because in 2008, if you remember, you were in New York, the economy completely crashed, we're in a recession, and you're going against John McCain, who's like the flat beer candidate. In other words, when you're at a tailgate, there's no more beer left, but you'll drink the flat beer. That was John McCain's choice for Republicans. And you're following George W. Bush, by the way, whose approval was in, you know, the low 30s. And then Sarah Palin is your vice presidential candidate. Hello, see Russia from your house. So, yeah, of course, Obama and Biden won. You couldn't possibly not win that election. He's vice president for 8 years. You say, OK, well, that's fine. And then you think like, all right, we're not going to see Joe Biden again. But then he runs in 2020. And then this once in a lifetime pandemic comes. Like not even lifetime, like once every 100 years, which allows Biden basically to campaign by pleading the fifth and just let Trump just completely step on rake after rake. And, you know, the country was in a horrible place. COVID was 2020 was the worst year of my life. I don't know about you.
Everybody.
So the president in power during that time is going to get blamed. So and Trump says stupid things. So then he loses. Now Biden is in the White House and we see the result in terms of, and I don't want to get too political here, but, you know, we're at inflation at a 40-year high in New York, for example, where you live, Cooper. I mean, it's skyrocketing crime. to the point where people are afraid to take the subway. And that's a trend nationwide.
Yeah.
And you have an open border. You have an educational system where parents feel like they don't have a say in their own kids' education. And now we see the results of this, where Joe Biden is polling lower than any first term president in history. And I think the reason why was so many people were focused on Trump instead of focusing on the guy who may replace him. And now we have this guy who's been below average his entire life. And that's fine, except he's the president of the United States. So here we are. We just keep settling for subpar people, and it's getting annoying.
Well, you and I were doing our show while all this was going on. Remember, we kept making jokes of the fact that there were like 400 people in the Democratic, potential. 28. Yeah. It was crazy. It was just every other day you would just sort of stumble over somebody. Be like, who's that? They're running for president. Like, what? You also? Who are you even? Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to you, there is no way the Democratic Party is putting up Biden. He is a placeholder. And I said that to you almost every day. I was like, this guy's a placeholder. We're going to have a really cool Barack Obama type guy come through. We're going to be like, that's our guy.
Well, there's no way he wins, right? I mean, he would say like, oh, you know, when you put your kids to bed at night, play the record player and make sure that they know the news of the day. You're like, you don't get the news to the record player. Like, well, what does that mean? You know, when he said to our former colleague, you could call him Charlemagne the God. And he says, you know, if you don't know whether to vote for me or Trump, then you ain't black. It's like, whoa.
What even is that? Right. Yeah. That's a weird thing.
It's racism, basically. Yeah, like, hey, right, if you don't follow the party line, you know, then you can't possibly be black. He just would say some profoundly, incredibly weird things. And, you know, by the way, we could do math. We could see that, okay, in his first term, if he wins, he'll be 82 at the end of his first term. And if he runs again, he'll be 86, which you think about, wow, this is the 79-year-old version of Joe Biden. Think about the 86-year-old version, which is why most Democrats don't even want him to run now at this point. But I mean, that's the thing with Democrats right now. Like, okay, where is that Barack Obama, the guy who does the electric speech and is likable? Barack Obama was likable. And I don't know who that is. I mean, Andrew Cuomo is not available for comment, so I guess it's Gavin Newsom, who has really nice hair. But I don't know where they go. And quite frankly, the Republicans, you know, I will say this, and I've said this on the air, I don't want Trump to run again, because now I have another guy who'll be in his 80s when he's president. Mm. And the guy is toxic because he says stupid things. So I don't know. Can we get some younger people in there with some fresh ideas that have like a record of some accomplishment and then go from there? I would hope we could do that, but it's such a personality contest at this point, and everything is, and social media controls so much in terms of the narrative that I don't know if we'll ever get like a normal person that sits in the Oval Office again. Like, I don't know who was normal. Who was the last normal guy we had in the office? I guess it was maybe Bill Clinton, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
You liked him. Yeah. We all liked him.
I like Clinton. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we should do it like The Voice. You know, we all turn our chairs around and you don't know who's standing there, and they tell you what their policy is, what they want to do, what's important to them, what their platform is. You don't know if they're Democrat or Republican. You just listen to what they have to say. Because I find that the minute you know somebody is a party that you are not, you automatically, your ears close right up. So I think we should just get, like, how many people in this country, how many millions of people in this country, just get that many chairs. And then we all turn our backs, and then the candidates stand there, and then, you know, and then we get Adam Levine in to sleep with some of them, and we're good.
Wow. Shirtless and a lot of ink on that guy. Yeah, that's why I think there is hope, though. I mean, in New York, I don't know how anybody can defend Kathy Hochul's record, you know, the gal who replaced Andrew Cuomo in terms of crime, and that's obviously a huge issue in New York. And Lee Zeldin seems like kind of a normal guy, right? He's basically like an accountant in a suit, you know, who's running for governor. So maybe he'll win, and he just seems like a common sense guy, but I don't know. We'll see. This isn't a political show. Let's talk about sex or something.
It's unnatural. It's an abomination.
You were the hermaphrodite cheerleader from Long Island?
Oh, no!
It's Cooper and Anthony.
So you can tell me about jury duty?
Okay. So I had jury duty for the past 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had it before. Have you had it?
I got called for jury duty. I didn't actually go. I mean, I went, but they didn't want me. So I get something to my mailbox. It's jury duty for Mark Cooper, but it's my address. So I thought, well, maybe it's for me because they got half the name right. Mm-hmm. So I go down there and I said, hi, I think this might be me. It's my address. She's like, is that your name? I said, well, it's only half my name. Is your name Mark Cooper? No. Well, then it's not you. Go home. All right. Okay. So I left because I'm not Mark Cooper, and that was it. That was the end of that. Then I got called a second time for actual jury duty, and I went down there, but it was right after I'd been through this crazy thing with this batshit guy in radio who was stalking me, and I was like totally triggered by this. And I go down there, and the case was a violent case, and I said, I am just getting over a stalking situation. I am not going to find anybody guilty because I'm not taking any chance of anyone coming after me, their family. I'm not going down that road again. Sorry. No, in my world, no one's guilty. Mm-hmm. That's it. So I told the judge that when I got there. So the judge was like, all right, you're excused.
So you got out of that one.
But I didn't want to get out of it. I just wanted to not be doing a violent case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was some stupid case, something like easy, if, you know, something like somebody pet somebody else's dog when they said, don't pet my dog. That's the case I was looking for. But this was a violent crime. And I was like, yeah, I'm not getting involved with violent crime. Nice try. But no gangs. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So what?
Not guilty.
So what they do here is they bring 33 people into a courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring the plaintiff and the defendant in and their lawyers and all that. And then they call each person separately, like the first. It randomly shoots out a list. So they say Tracy Carmichael, and Tracy stands up, and the lawyer looks at her and goes, yeah, we'll take her. And the other lawyer said, yeah, we'll take her. So then she goes and sits down. So when they get to six, that's it.
So they don't say anything to Tracy Carmichael? They look at her. That's so weird.
It's like the first guy they picked. It's this guy that kind of looks like Mr. Miyagi. Mm-hmm. So he stands up and the guy looks at him and goes, nah, don't want him. I'm like, you don't know anything about him. You just looked at him and picked him. Right. And when we're walking out, I said, I guess they didn't like the way you looked. He goes, I guess not. So they picked the first six. That's the first day.
Hang on. Were they all white?
No, they always pick X amount of women and men. And I think they have that down. I don't know. It just ended up that way.
Like, no, well, they have to. Otherwise, that's the whole thing. Remember I was telling you about that whole Curtis Flowers case?
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole Batson violation because they were not allowing black people on the jury.
Yeah, that's totally up to, in this state, that's totally up to each side. So if one side says yes and one side says no, that person sits down. They both have to say yes, and then that person sits.
Okay.
So there's two different cattle calls, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So yesterday I wasn't called for either. So I get to go home.
Okay.
So then today I go, morning session comes. I don't get called. Kick ass. So it's really a lot of you just sitting there for hours at a time.
So it's one big giant room, and yep, they call in 33 people at a time, and you did not get called in for those 33 people. So you just stayed in the giant room all day.
I stayed in the giant room, and then, like yesterday, I could leave. So, like, you're not wanted. Come back tomorrow at 9:30.
Hmm, okay.
So I go back today, 9:30, sit there. The judge comes in. They pick six more people, not me.
Huh.
So then he goes, you can leave. Come back at 1:30. I go home. I do some things. And I come back at 1:30. They start calling people. They get to me.
Oh.
So what happened was a plaintiff and a defendant comes in, kind of like the people's court.
Okay.
So you So you got this guy. He's probably about 40, dressed in a T-shirt and sweatpants. So he's the defendant. Yeah. No lawyer, just him dressed like that. Okay. Then you have this older lady, kind of like your mom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she comes in and she sits down and she's with some company. So it's like a rental company that has homes and apartments and things like that. So they get to me. The guy looks at me and goes, I'll take him. And the lady goes, I'll take him. I'm like, fuck.
Oh, man.
Fuck. So then I got to get up and I got to go sit in the jury box.
Oh, God.
So then they take us out and they take us to another courtroom. We go into another room And then they had to move us again. So we moved to another courtroom after that. So we sit to hear this case. So the whole time we have no idea what this case is about. Mm-hmm, we're just talking amongst ourselves. It's me. It's a guy with CP.
What's CP?
Cerebral palsy.
Oh, okay.
Which I like. He's a really cool guy. So him, a black guy who's about my age, a black woman, a half black, half white woman, and then a white millennial woman. So it's a nice mixture on this jury.
Okay.
So we're talking amongst ourselves because we have no idea what this case is going to be about. We have no idea how long it's going to take. It could take days. You know, so the lady goes, I think it's the rental company and this guy is squatting in the house and won't leave.
Oh.
So he's not paying rent and he's staying there and he's making excuses. I'm like, we'll be done by three. I'm going to walk in and say guilty and then I leave. You know, right. This is easy. This is, you know, there's no way I'm going to take this guy's side.
Right.
You know, if he's living in this place for months at a time, not paying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not taking his side. Screw
him.
No,
thank you. Right.
Yeah. So we go in and we sit down and they start the whole thing. So they do opening statements.
Ooh.
And then the woman goes on the older lady, she goes on the stand.
Yeah.
And she tells her side of the story. So this guy moved in July. He hasn't paid a dime. He paid $2,000 to move in. But ever since then, he hasn't paid a dime. So he's in the hole.
Okay.
All these months. He's 10 months or whatever in the hole. And he hasn't paid. And he's coming up with excuses every day. He's coming up with the excuse. His bank lost his check. They couldn't get his banking account hooked up. He wants a different shower head. There's rats. He's coming up with excuses every day.
Right.
So I'm going, this is easy. I mean, you can't live somewhere for free. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can't. Especially after you and I paid so much in rent.
Yeah, I take the side always of the landlord.
Yeah.
And I know there's scum landlords out there, and this could be one of them. I don't know. But you still, if you sign a contract, you can't break that contract just because you want a different shower head.
Right.
So the guy gets on the stand and he's starting with all the excuses why he can't pay rent. So the lady, first, the lady, she gives two things. So you give all these things to the jury. Mm-hmm. Exhibit A, Exhibit B, Exhibit C, and stuff like that. So she only gave us a breakdown of payments.
Okay.
So when he paid and checked off. So it's something generated out of her computer.
Okay.
And then she gave us the bill from the plumber who went in there to try to put a new shower head in.
Right.
So that's the only two things she gave us. So he said Exhibit A and Exhibit B. Mm-hmm. So then the guy gets up there and he's got emails and he's got photos and he's got all this crap, right?
Yeah.
Still, he's a piece of shit because he hasn't paid his rent.
Paid his rent and he's wearing a t-shirt and sweatpants to court.
Right. And and he's, you know, he's got photos of rats that are in his house.
Oh.
And you know, the electricity was too much money and he called and it's just one thing after another. Mm-hmm. The greatest thing is, so he goes, and I got my bank statement here. You can see withdrawal $4,000 I took out of my account to pay rent.
Okay.
I want to put this in as Exhibit C.
Right.
And the judge says, well, do you have a receipt for the $4,000 from, no, I paid cash. All right. Well, this is just a bank statement saying withdrawal. $4,000. It doesn't say for rent.
Or where it went, yeah.
Or, you know, and you don't have a receipt. I'm still going to submit it as Exhibit C. I'm like,
okay. All right.
Whatever. He could have took $4,000 out and bought pot as far as we know, and you think it's rent. So we go and he goes, okay, here's all the exhibits. Go back to the room and figure this out. Come back with a defendant or plaintiff.
That's it? That was the whole case?
That was the whole case.
Okay.
So this is a really good, this would be a really good social experiment for you.
All right.
When it comes to juries, because when we all went back to the room before anybody said anything, they all looked at me and said, what do you think?
Wow. They already knew you asserted dominance. You walked in there and whipped your dick out the second you got there, and all of them wanted to know what you thought.
I had a tie on. I sat at the front of the table, so they all looked at me.
Right, right.
Which was funny. You know, I thought, wow, okay, picking my side. All right, here's my thoughts. I said, he wins. Hands down, he wins.
Really? The guy won?
The guy wins. The judge said, he went through the law before we left, and he said, you just have to go by the things that they brought in, the exhibits. That's the only thing you can judge this case on, is okay. What is in front of you. Okay? So only the things they brought with them, look at that and judge the case. And I said, we do not have a lease.
Oh.
We don't have a signature. We don't have a lease. We don't have anything that says he has to move out in 14 days. We just have these two pieces of paper. That's all we have from her.
Wow.
So I can't tell you that he's a real tenant.
Right.
You know, and it is the, and when they called a HVAC guy, it happened to be the owner's cousin who comes in.
I see.
So kickback. That the company's bullshit anyway. We know right, that. Right. And this guy's bullshit anyway. But the loophole was I didn't have a signed contract.
Right.
Where's the signed contract? Don't have one. Oh,
that's brilliant. That's, you know, I'm glad all the other jurors looked to you because you brought up the most important point. So were they influenced by you? Were they like, yes?
Yeah. All of them went, that's brilliant. And I'm like, it's so
like, I know this is what I do.
You have to vote in his favor. And, you know, I can see how a murder trial can be thrown out with one little thing that just throws it. Like the OJ trial. It was one thing.
Right.
That just derailed the whole thing. So it was nothing against her. I think the guy's a piece of shit. I think she's a piece of shit. But he won. At the end of the day, he's the winner.
And did you have to explain why he won?
No. You just said, no, oh. You go in there and they say, who do you, you go in there and you stand up and they say, did you reach a verdict? Yes. Who do you go for? And we say defendant. And he goes, thank you for your time. You did a great job. You are dismissed. Doesn't ask why or anything.
Huh. Did the judge hint to you?
No, like, nothing.
Okay.
I mean, not a wink, not a nothing. It was
interesting.
But the funny thing was yesterday. So people were, you have to be there at 8:25. Like six people showed up at like 20 till.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can't do that.
What happens if you show up late?
Oh my God. The judge throws everything at you. You cannot be late.
What do you mean? He just yells at you?
No, he yells at you in front of everybody.
Oh, I don't give a shit about that. Does he fine people?
No, I don't think he didn't.
All right, as long as it doesn't cost me anything, I'm going to show up and I'm going to show up. This is New York City. I'm sorry. The subways do what the subways do.
Yeah, here there's no subway. So you had. But you can't bring your phone in. You just sit there.
That's the worst part. Like you can't. So wait a minute. While you're just sitting there, what are you sitting there doing?
I was talking to the CP guy.
Can you bring a book? Well, not you, but can a person bring a book?
A person can bring a book, but really nobody did. They just sit there and talk to each other real low.
You can't play on your phone?
No, because you don't have a phone. The minute you walk through the door, it goes beep, and they got a phone. They say, take it back to your car.
Oh, you got to take it back. They don't have one of those little baggy things.
No, you got to take it back to your car. But I guess if you don't have a car, you have the little baggy thing. But you can't bring it in there. But I had my watch. They didn't stop that.
Well, without your phone, your watch is useless.
No, I have the cellular on my watch.
Oh, you do? Okay, so you actually had some.
Yeah, I had some, but it was nice not to have a phone for 2 days. That was
Wait, so you have cellular on your watch, which means every time I texted you, you just chose to ignore me?
I didn't see it.
Uh-huh. You didn't see the watch on your wrist.
I didn't feel the I did not feel any of that.
You didn't feel any of the haptics.
No, I turned that part of the watch off. I don't
Okay,
need
but
that.
What I mean is like so the no, thing on your wrist.
I don't have messages. My phone didn't my watch didn't come with that. It's
what
not
face,
a real Apple
what face
watch.
Do you
it's
use
a,
on your
it's
on your
a
Apple
Flapple watch?
Watch. What's your face that you use?
I made my own. I don't have it on right now. I made my own. I usually have a ghost or a pumpkin because it's Halloween.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah. I have the Mickey Mouse.
You have Mickey Mouse?
Yeah.
See, you can't have Mickey Mouse if you're over the age of 6.
Nope, that's not true. Mickey Mouse is iconic. Anybody can have Mickey Mouse.
Not if you're over 6. You're over 6.
Nope, I got Mickey Mouse.
Now, once you turn 7, you have to take that off.
And the best thing is when you touch it, he goes,
it moves. Yeah, the dance.
No. He doesn't just dance. He talks to you. He goes, "Hey ho, how you doing?"
No,
it's 8:30.
Yeah, you're older than 6.
I mean, I have that part turned off because it's annoying. So if you bump into him, you'll hear like, "Hey there." It's like, "Oh, shut the fuck up, watch."
Yeah, my watch really doesn't work on messages, so that's the reason why I didn't get messages. It doesn't work.
Sure,
it's a Flapple watch. I don't have Mickey Mouse. That's why.
Got it.